looking at the relationships of church the last couple weeks, we've been seeing that it is a relationship of love. You see, when Christ commanded his people to love their neighbors, he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he spoke to the apostles in John 13, if we turn there, verse 34, he's speaking to them on the night of the Passover in church capacity. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another as I have loved you. It's a much higher degree of love. John 15, verse 12, he repeats this. He says, this is not my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That may lead someone to ask or wonder, to what degree did Christ love us? John 15, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We're talking about a perfect love. We're talking about the very love of God. And that is the love that we are to have and manifest toward one another. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, we've been looking at these verses. We see this love is described. First three verses, he speaks of the vanity of service to the Lord without this love, the vanity of anything done in the name of the Lord without this love. And then beginning with verse 8, or verse 4, through verse 8, he describes this love. And again, I believe this is the Lord's love, and it is the love that we are to manifest toward one another. We begin reading with verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Last week we stopped at the end of verse 5. That brings us to verse 6, which is the 10th characteristic of love, and that is it rejoices not in iniquity. It finds no pleasure. It finds no delight in the sins and in the faults of others. If someone rejoices when you sin, and someone rejoices when they discover your faults, you can mark it down. They don't love you. They don't love you. Love does not do that. Love does not rejoice. Love finds no pleasure in the sins and faults of others. And those who do find delight in the sins and faults of others will always be a disruptive force to the unity of the Spirit within the body of Christ. Throughout the description that we read here in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is stating that the love of God in the heart is opposed to all wickedness. It is opposed to all evil practice. And it tends to righteousness in practice. So it is obvious that the love of God in the heart would never find pleasure, would never take delight when others fall into sin, even if it's our enemies. Love does not take delight when others fall. The love of God in the heart finds no pleasure when an individual falls into sin, nor does it find any pleasure in hearing that others have fallen into sin. It finds no pleasure in hearing others accused of sin. It finds no pleasure in having it proved that others have fallen in sin. It finds no pleasure in that. It finds no delight. Now, wickedness finds a malicious pleasure in the very report that someone has fallen. Again, people will get on the phone as soon as they hear, well, or the computer, as soon as they hear that so-and-so has committed a sin. Whether it's factual or not doesn't matter. They immediately want to spread that. That is malicious. And there is no love. There is no love in that whatsoever. None. The love of God in the heart will not do that. So the love of God in the heart neither loves the wrong that someone else has done, nor does it take any pleasure in the fact that someone has indeed fallen into sin. The love of God in the heart instead causes one to be greatly grieved when they hear that someone has fallen into sin. The love of God in the heart causes one to be greatly burdened at the sins and at the faults of others. Notice in Psalm 119, and we'll read verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. You can tell a lot about someone's so-called love at the report of sin in others. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, and verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Those individuals would be spared of God's judgment. Those that sigh and cry for the abominations that are in the land. 2 Peter 2 and verse 8, we'll not turn there, but we see that Lot vexed his righteous soul with the behavior of those of Sodom and Gomorrah. So the love of God in the heart causes one to be greatly grieved over the sins and over the faults of others. When a church has to discipline someone for sin, it ought to be a very grievous thing. It ought to cause a great sadness and a great burden of heart. And if it does not, then for those that it does not, they lack the love of God in their hearts. The love of God in the heart not only prevents one from finding pleasure in the sins and faults of others, but it also causes one to rejoice in the restoration of others. We see this in Galatians 6 and verse 1. So this love that does not find pleasure in the sins and faults of others is essential to possessing and maintaining the unity of the Spirit. Now notice if we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, we come to the 11th characteristic in verse 6. Rather than rejoicing in iniquity, it rejoices in truth. Now, the word truth here is used opposed to iniquity. So it's the opposite of iniquity. In other words, love finds pleasure and love finds delight in the godly virtues of others. For one who has the love of God in their heart, that pleases them when they see someone with godly virtues. The love of God in the heart causes one to be pleased. It fills them with great joy when what is right is in the life of someone else. We see in 2 John verse 4 that we rejoice when our children walk in truth. And he's speaking there in church capacity. But we ought to rejoice when others walk in truth, when others do what is right. It is wickedness. And it is not the love of God that causes one to be jealous when someone does right, or causes one to feel threatened by the virtues of others. And many of God's people feel threatened by the godliness of another child of God. That is not love. That's wickedness. That's wickedness in the heart. The love of God in the heart will always cause you to rejoice when someone is godly. It'll cause you to rejoice that they have convictions. You see, a child of God should never be ridiculed, degraded, shunned, and persecuted by other children of God because they have some standards. That's not love, that's hatred. That's hatred. And hatred today is very much alive. And it's very much alive even in the Lord's churches. It's present. The love of God is, this love of God in the heart, is really pretty rare, the manifestation of it. The love of God in the heart will not allow you to ridicule somebody for being godly, will not allow you to degrade them or persecute them in any way or slander them in any way because they have a godly conviction. The love of God will not allow you to do that. So this love that rejoices in the good and the godliness of others, again, is absolutely essential to maintaining the unity of the Spirit. In verse 7, we read, charity beareth all things. Love is disposed to conceal rather than to reveal the thoughts of others. Now that's going to require some explanation. But the word beareth here in verse 7 means to cover or to conceal. Notice in 1 Peter 4 verse 8, this is what is being talked about in 1 Peter 4 verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's the tendency of love. The tendency of love is to cover the sins and faults of others rather than reveal the sins and faults of others. The love of God in the heart is the remedy for any desire to be a talebearer. A talebearer is the malicious communication of secrets. It doesn't mean that when you know a church member is doing wrong and that's going to hinder the church, that you keep it to yourself. That's not what it means. That's not tattling. Tattling is in a spirit of maliciousness. You do it for the purpose of getting that person in trouble. That's tattling. That's talebearing. So it's all about the spirit in which it is done. But this love that is prone to cover rather than reveal
remedies the desire to talebear. If you have the love of God in your heart, you may have to communicate to someone concerning the sin of someone else. But you do not do it with a malicious intent. You do not do it to destroy an individual. So again, it comes back to the spirit of the matter. It is the remedy against all whispering and slander against others. The love of God in the heart will remedy the desire of revealing sins for the purpose of destroying an individual. Again, the inclination of love is to conceal rather than to reveal the faults of others. Charity beareth all things. Charity is prone to cover. You'd much rather not have to reveal someone's sins. You'd rather not have to do that. If you choose, if that's your first desire, that's not love, that's wickedness, that's sin. Charity beareth all things. That also means that love is disposed to carry the burdens of others. We read in Galatians 6 and verse 2 that we are to bear ye one another's burdens. This is done by sympathizing. This is done by endeavoring to alleviate burdens. This is done by prayer. This is what love does. Love carries the burdens of others. Love sympathizes with others. Love seeks to alleviate a problem. Love seeks to alleviate a burden. Love will pray for others, not just those within your circle, not just those whose lives affect your life directly. That's a very limited love. Lost people have that love. But again, this love is for all. It's for our neighbors, and especially for those of the household of faith. We see also in verse 7, this would be the 13th characteristic. Love believeth all things. That is, the love of God in the heart is disposed to put the best interpretation upon the conduct of those we love. Now, that also needs some explaining. That does not mean that the one who loves makes no discrimination in regard to things to be believed, or that he is as prone to believe a falsehood as the truth, or that he makes no effort to inquire what is true and what is false. The one who is under the influence of love automatically chooses to put the best construction upon the motives and behaviors of others until they know otherwise. If someone is always questioning everyone's motives, mark it down, they're wicked. Mark it down, they have no love of God in their heart. That's not what the love of God does. The love of God believeth all things. So, it is hatred to immediately assume or to immediately believe the worst in others. That's not what love does. Love does just the opposite. Love says, I will not believe that until it's proven. I will not believe it. Did you hear brother so-and-so did such and such? Did you hear brother Jim did such and such? Oh, don't surprise me. I've been expecting all along. That's not love. Love says, I will not believe that until you can prove it. I will not believe it. I refuse to believe it. Someone automatically believes the bad they hear about you. Again, mark it down. They do not love you. They do not love you, and they are an enemy. And the good advice concerning your enemies is to have very little dealings with them if you can help it. So those who believe the worst without any facts, again, just about everybody here could be accused of almost anything. And to believe it without any proof, that's not what the love of God does. A rumor can start, Brother Dan doesn't believe the Trinity. And there are some who say, oh, it doesn't surprise me. And then they'll get on the computer and email someone else. And that really doesn't concern me, because I know the only ones that are going to believe that are my enemies anyway, are those who do not love. That's why you are wasting your time. I remember years ago people were on me to defend myself about something. I said, I'm not going to do it, because the only ones that are going to believe it are my enemies anyway. And there's no need to defend yourself before your enemies. You're wasting your breath. Love of God, the love of God in heart, does not immediately believe the bad that it hears about others. Those who are prone to a distrustful and suspicious spirit concerning the conduct of others, again, they are prone to this spirit. They'll always be a disruptive force in the unity of the Spirit within a body of Christ. The love of God in the heart prevents that proneness to be distrustful. It prevents that always suspicious spirit of others, always suspecting their motives. Well, why did they do that? They said something nice to me, but why did they do that? That's not love. Love does not do that. Love does not always question the motives of others. Number 14, charity hopeth all things. That is, charity desires good for others. Love wants what is best for others. That's common sense. Love wants what's best for those you love. That's true in church capacity. That's true in any relationship. Love wants what is best for others. When appearances are not right concerning the conduct of others, it is the inclination of love to hope that all matters can be explained, that all matters can be made clear, so that one's conduct can be proven to be pure. That is the hope of love. Love hopes. You see something, and by appearance it does not look right. It does not appear right. And you have to go and you have to, because you've seen it, you have to go and you have to talk to this person. You are hoping that the whole matter can be cleared up and that it'll be proven that it was just an appearance and their conduct is pure. That's what love does. Maliciousness does just the opposite. They see an appearance and they hope. Ha ha, got him. Got him. That's maliciousness. That's hatred. That's not love. Verse 7, love endureth all things. Love endures. Love is able and love is willing to undergo, to go through, to experience, to encounter, to withstand trials, testings, afflictions, tribulations, persecutions. Song of Solomon 8 verse 6 says, love is strong as death. Verse 7 says that many waters cannot quench love. Love endures. Love endures the faults of others. Love endures the aggravations of others. Love endures those things. Love is willing to endure those things. If you're not willing to put up with anything, that's a lack of love. That's a lack of love. You know, many times the impatience of people, the real problem is a lack of love. Because love is patient. Love is kind. We see the love of God in the heart has sustaining power. And then lastly, in verse 8, charity never faileth. That speaks of the value of this love. Now, love may fail as to the exercise of it. People may cease to exercise love. Love may be left. You can leave it. It can leave you. The fervor of it may be lost. Love may wax cold. Love may be obstructed by many, many, many things. And that's what happens to a lot of husbands and wives when they say, well, I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. Many times that love is just obstructed because you've been sweeping things under the rugs for 20 years. And love has become obstructed. So all of that can happen. So what does it mean when it says charity never faileth? As to its principle, the things we have just looked at, 15 characteristics, those things never fail. What love does never fails, never stops. It does not fail in the characteristics that we've already mentioned. In other words, love is long-suffering. That does not fail. Love is kind. That does not fail. Love is not jealous. Love does not act or feel superior to someone else. Love acts appropriately. Love is not selfish. Love is not easily provoked. That is, it's not easily provoked to anger. Again, a lot of anger management. The root problem is a lack of love. Because love is not easily provoked. It suffereth long. Love is opposed to a critical spirit. These things never fail. Love does not find pleasure in the faults and sins of others, but rather it delights in the godly virtues of others. Love has the tendency to conceal a fault when it can, rather than reveal a fault. And when faults and sins have to be revealed, it takes no pleasure. None whatsoever. Love desires good for others. And it has a tremendous enduring capacity. What a shame when this love is not in the hearts of God's people. I have seen more hatred in people who profess to be saved than I have people who make no profession whatsoever. Something's terribly wrong when that happens. Where there is love, these things that we have mentioned will be present. They will not only be present, they will be present without fail. Charity faileth not. Again, this love is essential to maintaining the unity of the Spirit. Never underestimate the power, the blessing, and the value of the love of God. That would fix the love of God in the heart of God's people, would fix many a church problem. Many a church problem would never arise if God's people had this love in their hearts. The child of God is to pursue this love. We are to pursue to manifest it. We are to pursue to express it. Notice 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity. Follow after it. That is the charity that has just been described. Pursue to manifest it. Pursue to express it at all times. This love is to be continued in. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. That is, this love that has just been described, let it continue. Let it always be manifest. Let it always be expressed. It is to be provoked in one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To provoke unto love and to good works. And this love will manifest itself in deeds. It'll work. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Labor of love. That should be true in the Lord's service. Our love for the Lord. Our service to the Lord should be a labor of love. But it should also be true in our relationships with one another. It should be a labor of love. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have manifested to the saints and do minister. Again, we see there your work and labor of love. Love acts. Love works. Love labors. The Spirit of God dwelling within us teaches us to love one another. You cannot say, you can say it, but it won't be true, that, well, no one taught me that I was supposed to love my fellow church members. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're taught of God to love one another. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You're taught of God to love one another. It's not something, you cannot say, well, no one told me. If you're saved, you know. And you're always being taught that you're to love one another. That being said, the one who does not possess this love for others is an indication. I'll go even further. It is a proof that they know not the Lord. 1 John makes this very, very plain. 1 John chapter, let's look at John 13, 35, and then we'll go to 1 John. John 13, verse 35. Jesus speaking to the apostles, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And he's already told them what kind of love that is, as I have loved you. It's by this they will know that you are my disciples. It is by that that you too can know whether or not you are a disciple of Christ. Then notice over in the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John, chapter 2. These verses are very plain. You know, people will say all the time, well, it's, we don't know if they're not saved. Well, the Bible tells us, gives us some pretty evident signs whether or not someone knows the Lord. And one of these evident signs is whether or not we love the brethren in a way that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. This is more than just saying, I love you. It's much more than that. It is manifested in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 John 2, verse 10, verse 11. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. He lives in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Is in darkness. And walketh in darkness. He lives in darkness. And knoweth not whither he goeth. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest. Sounds to me like we can know. In this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. Children of God, children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. That is, he's not a child of God. He is what? A child of the devil. Neither he that loveth not his brother. That individual is not a child of God. Doesn't matter how much they say they are. But rather they are a child of the devil. Verse 14 and verse 15. We know that we have passed from death unto life. So this is something we know. Because, okay, what's going to follow is evidence that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. That is a proof. And it's not just those that you pick and choose that agree with you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. These things are very plain. You know, pastors have said, well, the church never has been a very loving church. Well, you've got a problem. You know what that means? That means you've got a church full of lost people. Based on what John is saying in 1 John, when you can say that, well, it's never been a characteristic of that church to be very loving. They're lost. You've got a real problem. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, and people can say anything, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Love of God in the heart is a sign, is proof, is an evidence that we have been saved. If an individual has not the love of God in their heart, it is sure evidence that they never have been born again, that they never have been saved. Now, being saved and being a member of a body of Christ involves a very special love relationship. There is a real problem when you cannot get along with the members of a body of Christ. There is a problem. There is a real problem when there is not this spirit of love within a body of Christ. And where this love of God dwells, when it fills a body of Christ, it is something that you feel as soon as you gather together. It's there. You can feel it. Just as you can feel animosity, just as you can feel tension in a room, you can feel the love of God. And every member of Home Baptist Church ought to strive to manifest and to express and to exercise this love of God toward one another. You say, well, I've tried with so-and-so, but they're pretty hard to love. Yes, some people are easier to love than others. That's also true concerning people toward you as well. Some people find you easier to love. Some people find it very difficult to love you. That's true of all of us. That's a fact. But that's not an excuse. Love endures. Love keeps on, keeps on. It just keeps on showing that love. So God help us to have this love of God. That is one of the special relationships that is involved in being a member of one of the Lord's churches. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in a verse.